Yeah, it's an interesting. I mean, actually, that points to a whole deep subject, which is changes in mind that remain unconscious to us or that we're unaware of, that are only very subtly indicated, and only months later or years later do they manifest in a clear, observable way, like balance of love and wisdom, right? A person who maybe is going on love only, or prefer, I want to be happy always, or I want to be positive and up always, and rejects the low end of normal personal experience, but then later acknowledges that it's part of life, could just have a different feeling for a while. But only later it turns, only 6 months later they discover they're actually much more clear about certain things that they were not clear about before, and that the wisdom is starting to manifest as greater understanding naturally and greater stability. So there's a lot, what we see above the ground is not the only, growing life within the psyche. The psyche has invisible, kind of sub-visible levels of our being, even just the personal mind, that don't manifest for a while, only in very subtle ways, and then later they do, and then later it's obvious that we've changed. Oh, you've changed. But actually, the person had changed already. It just wasn't fully manifest. Our understanding of a certain teaching is immature now, even though it may be further developed than it was in the past, and in the future, our understanding will be much deeper. And there's a progressive development of greater awareness of the essence of a teaching, it's called Panchasila, Pankasila, Panchasila, five discipline or five moralities. That's the primary Buddhist rules, if there were any rules. Don't kill, don't steal, don't lie, no sexual misconduct, and no intoxicants. And those all can be understood, to the letter or figuratively, or in a more diffuse or conceptual or key point, centralized way. So, like, don't kill. So yeah, sure, it means don't shoot, your neighbors unless they're robbing you, but it means don't join the army and don't kill people because you're hurting yourself. Basically, if you understand karma and reincarnation, if you're not on the negative path, this kind of action creates a lot of trouble for the self in past and future lives. Dot dot dot. But then there are many, many other levels to don't kill. Oh, if you're talking to me and I cut you off in the conversation because I'm so excited to help you, even. I'm so excited to say what I just read because I really want to help, and unconsciously because I like being in control, or I like to be listened to, or I like to feel important, then I override the middle of your sentence and jump in with my good advice. That's a form of violence. That's a form of harm. It's a form of killing. It's not the same as killing a body. Likewise, killing a human has a greater karmic weight than killing an animal. But killing a dog has a greater weight than killing a cockroach. Killing a cockroach has a whole lot, is a little bit different than picking your cabbage in the field, So, these are all forms of death dealing, but there's a hierarchy. Just as the same way as stepping on an insect by accident is different than willfully smashing it underfoot. These are different forms of violence. Likewise, pointing my finger at you in my conversation to make a point, either with anger or not. That's a form of violence too. Because there's energy coming out of my finger and I'm pointing it at you or the person. That is sending energy into their body in an aggressive way. That's violence too. Buying food and leaving it in my refrigerator to rot and ruin because, oh well, I didn't like it and I want to eat something else. That's a form of violence too. It's disrespectful to the value of food that keeps us alive. That's morality. That's Shila too. Shila, Sila in Sanskrit means discipline. So Panchasila is five discipline. So, you know, the basis of the Buddhist path is Shila, Samadhi, and Prajna, which means discipline or morality, meditation and insight ultimately, and wisdom, like study, meditation, and service. So, morality is a form of service to others, also, as well as a self-discipline. And there are much deeper levels of it as we understand the nature of mind in action. You know, pointing to somebody's nose to make a point is violence. So when I make a point, I never point. I point away from your head because I don't want to hurt you. I don't even want you to have a momentary unconscious feeling of being attacked. Because that's violence, and I don't want to do that. So, each one of those rules will be understood deeper, and we'll see today that we understood it very little yesterday, and tomorrow we'll find we really understand it much better, and that continues endlessly. You see, this is a discussion on Shila. I don't mean Miss Sheila, but Sheila, Sila, virtue, morality, discipline. It's the root of the Buddhist path. There is no insight into, you know, emptiness and no self or unity or form is emptiness, emptiness is form. All the insights of vipassana that lead to panna, panya, prajna, wisdom. All the insights that lead to wisdom can't happen with our chakra blockage, right? Because the insights are basically a 4, 5, 6 chakra matter, and the essence of fourth ray development, love, is virtue, which is called ahimsa. Ahimsa means not himsa. Not himsa means not harming. Ahimsa was Gandhi's primary teaching. It's called nonviolence. And there's a saying that harmlessness is the highest yoga. Harmlessness is the highest yoga. Ahimsa param yoga. Param yoga. So that means that the conscious and deliberate discipline of not hurting anyone ever is considered a supreme practice, right? There's the practice of drinking your pee-pee, and there's the practice of following your breath, and there's the practice of reading and talking like we do now. There's the practice of trying not to be harmful to anyone, anything, ever, always. And the basis of good karma or the basis of good fortune and happiness is ultimately virtue, which is simply heart chakra. That's all it is, you know. Virtue, Shila, is actually fourth ray development. in the same way that a child, a very pure child normally, won't hurt anything, you know? It's only later, by socialization, that they become little monsters, normally, depending on the karma. But ahimsa and a progressively deeper understanding of morality is the heart of heart ray opening, and it's the heart of harmony and peace and safety and security and happiness and well-being for the individual and the society. And ultimately, in the outward action, or, well, let's just say as a deep level, but not perhaps core level, but very deep level pattern in the collective humanity, there's a lack of appreciation for morality. You know, I'm not a right-wing anything, and I'm not a Puritan anything, but the awareness of the importance of not hurting anyone is diminishing globally, of course. It's the, you know, just do it, me first generation type conditioning. Anyway, for sure, you'll have a deeper understanding of how to do service, how to be good, and how you want to be. You want to be. You see, the purpose of Shila is for oneself. We're not hurting others for oneself. I don't want to point at anyone for me, as well as for them, because I don't feel good if I sense I'm hurting them, even in a subtle way. And unregulated or undisciplined interaction is a problem, as Ra said, because as the personality becomes more powerful, meaning the lower centers are less blocked, and sixth ray kicks in the blend, more greater blend of the seven, then a person becomes stronger and can do more harm, even by little things. Just a hard word, just a glance, just a turning away, just a pointing. All of that can harm people a lot, depending on the power of the one who's the actor, the agent, the subject in that case. So it's very important, and that's the basis of karmic evaluation. If you want to know somebody's future, understand their karmic flow. Of course, that's very difficult, but if you want to understand the future of a nation, look at its karmic flow, specifically virtue, analysis of virtue. All right. You know, it's the development of greater awareness. And that awareness is a tool, or has the capacity to do work. the work of expanded or sensitized, refined awareness. And the work is self-work, you know, transformation of our being. Remember, Ra said, the purpose of incarnation, very simple, is the evolution of mind-body-spirit. So if anybody wonders what's the purpose of life and all the spiritual people who go around in circles, not answering their own questions, you can tell them that the purpose of incarnation is evolution of mind-body-spirit, period. And in that evolutionary process, awareness of awareness itself grows, expands, refines, interpenetrates body-mind-spirit more fully. Awareness is not body-mind-spirit. Awareness is the fundamental quality of its vibration, but it's not the substance, or it's the nature of the substance, but it's substanding. It's the framework, you know, the framework of light itself. The vibratory nature of light itself is sentient. So light or energy, right? All seven dimensions are light or energy. The body is light or energy. Body, mind, and spirit are all standing fields, temporary moving fields, interpenetrating of light. Body, physical and subtle. Mind, the lower level, the middle level, the upper level. And spirit, which is shuttle or is infinitude. It's really, in a way, the spirit shuttle or the spirit field of the head is itself the path out of the octave. So anyway, those are all fields of light, body and mind and spirit. The transformation of that light is an increase in its self-awareness or its radiance. It's the light in the head is not the only light. The light of the being brightens. That is expansion of awareness. That then leads to a greater understanding of everything, whatever, wherever that awareness is applied. Like a spotlight, you know, like a bright candlelight. Wherever it shines, it leads to knowing, illumination and knowing. The purpose of shining the light of awareness is to know more fully. And by knowing more fully, there is an integration of truth with our current distortions. And distortions dissolve greater in the light of truth, right? Truth will set you free. Not the truth, but all truth. And the free is the freedom from distortion, which is the cause of suffering, right? Which is the inability to love and inability to know. K-N-O-W. So everything changes as awareness develops, or we see reality more finely with native understanding. And by that, we see we live in a different universe than the one we thought, right? This is the realm of magic. Even though we thought it was just, stuff and clods of dirt. But actually, that's not what's happening here. Or that's just the result of limited perception. So perception then depends on degree of awareness. Or perception is a quality or a function related to the degree or development of awareness. And the path is the path of developing awareness. And so ignorance and the small view is the result of inadequate development of awareness, which means not having worked on self too much, as we all know. So what it looks like today, I may see as quite different tomorrow. As awareness is freed or expanded by its self-liberation from non-loving patterns, which are distortion, which are second, third ray blockages primarily. Yeah, I mean, you know, these things swing, right, on a pendulum. Public attitudes towards morality or towards many things. So for a long time, people were restrained by their church or by religious authority, and then there was rebelling against that, and then that leads to the excesses of self-centeredness, which increases the rudeness or insensitivity to others, and then there's a reaction against that, and then the pendulum swings back towards the moral pole. Paying attention to conduct and how we treat each other rather than me first or only me, which is important, you know, me is important. So before there was an enforced morality, then there was the rebellious overreaction to that, and then there's a more measured reaction to that overreaction, which hopefully can lead people or help people develop understanding of non-dogmatic morality. Non-dogmatic morality. I, in the future, or already, have made it known that in the next 3D civilization, or on other planets, they may even be working with this, a very important seed principle to convey in the early portion of the 75,000 year cycle is that the purpose of morality is self-benefit. The purpose of morality is to help yourself, not primarily helping others. Now, I'm appealing to selfishness, but actually it's also metaphysically true, in that goodness to other is goodness to self. Goodness out equals goodness in. What goes around comes around. What you put out is what you become, or what you are. You put out what you are, and by putting it out or sharing, you're reinforcing its strength within. So, you know, like the idea, well, I have a good angel and I have a bad angel, but which one do you feed? There's some Native American story, perhaps, about, you know, the young brave goes to the elder and talks about the wolf and the benevolent force that is within him, and the elder basically says, yes, I know, we have it too. It's a matter of which one you feed, the force of benevolence or the force of selfish disdain for others. And so by the effort to not harm, by the effort of ahimsa, which is the discipline of trying not to hurt anybody, always, we're feeding or strengthening inner virtue, or the connection to soul or higher self, which is in perfect virtue, meaning a being of unity has no capacity to harm other. The axles are broken on the wagon of harm. The starter is smashed. The starter of harm for mind is smashed. It's impossible for a being of one to harm an aspect of itself. It's one, the one. So by realizing that virtue or non-harming is of great benefit to me, because it's the foundation of good karma, and good karma is the foundation of a good future and good fortune. If you want protection and good fortune, you have to develop morality, virtue, non-harmfulness, harmlessness. If you want good fortune, you have to be good. It doesn't mean religious. It means in heart, living in heart. Ahimsa, no harm. And so if at the beginning of the 3D cycle, it's widely, you basically have to send in some wanderers who would keep the seed awareness that their mission is to spread that particular teaching. I'm not sure if that's infringement, but their purpose is to share the understanding that virtue is good for you. Forget about religion and God. Forget about hell and sin, punishment. The karmic law is, if you do good, good comes to you. If everybody is self-interest motivated to practice virtue, the society will polarize very well on the positive and avoid a lot of trouble. So it's already been made known upstairs, and it's being considered, I think. Because really, you know, this is a problem. You know, this is just a sector of the universe. This is just a sector of the galaxy where the repeaters, the slackers, and the chronic confused, and those who have a weak attachment to negativity but can't get over the hump either. Meaning, the 3D negatives on Earth are not harvestable, 99%, because they're not negative enough. So they're repeaters too. So you've got the repeaters who try to go into virtue but then fall down, the repeaters who go into the negative path but are not negative enough. They're not ruthless enough internally. Internally, they're not disciplined enough. They haven't subjugated the heart chakra and natural flow sufficiently to polarize or to be harvestable. So the poor will always be with us. The poor of Earth humanity, meaning Earth humanity. Earth humanity is the poor of this portion of the galaxy. This poor will always be with us, meaning they'll continue to be inflow to the ranks of the non-polarized or the unpolarizable or the 3D repeaters. And so there's a lot of discussion upstairs, of course, how to help them in the next 3D cycle. The big view is important, you know. So core principles that are that will be applied in the next cycle in the 3D planets to which these repeaters are going are being developed now in association with those down here on the ground. But it's not a, you know, spaceship land on my front lawn and let's talk thing. It's all at the higher levels of the astral and above. How about that? My insider sources told me. It's true, you know. I mean, we have to think, there's a lot being gleaned from the current experience of 60 wanderers down in this group of repeaters. And familiarity is a means to improve service. The criminality of you know, authority in all institutions, really, the criminality is becoming more and more apparent. And that's a result of the fourth density energy field developing or moving from activation to settlement, meaning moving from initial or early resonance or early development of fourth chakra stable field, etheric field, to a stable field, more and more. And Ra said, in fourth density, all things are revealed. And revelation is a revealing. Apocalypse is a revealing. Apocalypse actually means revealing. Greek. So this is the time of revealing. So it's very it's fortuitous, it's appropriate, and it's very helpful on the positive path, which is revealing truth, revealing what is, accepting what is. But it's a trouble for the negatives. I think there, you know, the tsunami is coming, and it's going to wash ashore. That's it. All the signs point that way. Of course, dimensional shift could happen any moment. But ironically, dimensional shift is delayed by the logos, or at least put to the end of the usable portion of time in which it will happen. Move closer to the end of that range because of human consciousness development. It's the result. The reward for human consciousness development that there's more time in 3D. That's a principle that you can see Ra talking about, and also I know it, however I know it. I mean, how do we know higher truth? Sometimes it's reading, sometimes it's hearing in mind. It's actually always a combination of all that. So whatever truth, whatever higher metaphysical truth we know, is certainly being echoed by higher beings who know it. You know, there's a master in your heart. And that's the higher self. And all subsidiary teachers are in agreement. So it's my understanding that dimensional shift will has been moved to the latter portion of the usable time range for the Logos, by the Logos, because of the fact that more people are moving into heart chakra. And that's one reason why the negatives are not being removed from the planet, because they have a right to be experiencing 3D for their own evolution too. Yeah. Well, the liars lie to each other even more so than they lie to the public. So it's called the professional liar class. And because most people are not devious, they can't imagine such deviousness. And also because it's ugly, most people don't want to turn their awareness to it to understand it more fully. Because most people feel disempowered, they don't want to consider the degree of domination that's occurring in the society, globally, really. So humans have been very well domesticated. And as you say, just to answer your question, it is always better to discharge or allow process of karma closer to the originating point, and therefore more time in 3D allows individual and collective to experience more of the karmic return, or more karmic return, so as to work through it. Not that they'll always do it, but yes, that's part of the extension. And so that's the association of elders or old people in a society with wisdom. The reason, I mean, a traditional reason why people live long, or particular people live long, is because they're using their catalyst well. Higher self doesn't pull the plug when work is consistently being done. Chuang Tzu said, if it's crooked, I leave it alone. If it's straight, I help it along. If it's straight, I help it along. If it's crooked, I leave it alone. So, excuse me, if the life is being lived demonstrating consistent use, efficient use of catalyst, then higher self helps it along in many ways, one of which is to allow a longer lifespan. And there's also the natural feedback, which is if you're in heart, or there's a kindly approach to life, the heart chakra is developed, thereby the thymus is healthy, thereby immunity is stronger, thereby there's a longer life. So that's a biological feedback. Higher self is part of that too. And so, yeah, the elders of a group then would normally, not always, but often, represent those who developed more wisdom and love because they were making better use of catalyst, and that's why they're living longer. That's why they're 110 years old rather than they die at 62. So, there you go. You know, the Buddha, actually, there's a passage in the Pali, P-A-L-I, the original language of the Buddha, the Siddhartha Gautama, Pali language. There's a sutra where somebody asked him about the the value of virtue. What is the value of morality? And the answer was basically that one of the primary values or reason for the importance of virtue is to prevent regret. And so when you don't do things that are harmful, you don't regret your life. And that there's some kind of suggestion that karmic guilt and how we feel, the formation of self-esteem is quite dependent on morality. This is very subtle. This is new ground. That the formation of the sense of self, to some extent, is based on a karmic recollection of one's morality. And so those who do good, or when we do good, we feel good about ourselves. Because the doing good equals heart chakra activation. Heart chakra activation is happiness. There's no happiness without heart chakra activation. That's why the negatives are dark and unhappy, because they can't activate love. They can't and remain on their path. Impossible. They will be eaten in a moment. So they can't activate fourth ray. Therefore, they can't experience happiness. Therefore, at a very deep level, the sense of self is associated with suffering. Self equals suffering, because self creates suffering, because self doesn't love. And so a major feed of self-esteem is moral self-evaluation. And of course, many people who do good feel good that they're doing good. Now, of course, there are people who are really good and still hate themselves. That's a sickness of modern culture. But that's generally, there's a reason why that they haven't forgiven. But the prevention of regret as the result of careful morality, which, you know, ahimsa, non-harm, the prevention of regret is a major support for a positive sense of self. It's very esoteric. And so the more these people hurt each other, the worse they feel about themselves. And therefore, the worse or the easier they are to be manipulated by negative leadership that harms them. Because at some level, they feel they deserve harm, because they caused it, which is true. Very interesting. And so one of the reasons that this group of souls eddies round and round and round without going downstream or upstream into harvestability is because of non-moral, the legacy of immorality. I don't mean religious, you know. The legacy of harmful behavior in past lives and present, strengthening a self-dislike that weakens and fractures self-esteem, which then allows negatives to play on that to both strengthen people's pride or arrogance and sense of I'm great, while enslaving them and oppressing them and controlling them, manipulating them, all of which is known in the deep mind, of course, by the sleepers. The sleepers know in the deep mind they're being fucked, of course, of course. But they feel at a deep mind level that it's deserved. Basically because of karmic regret, karmic guilt, regret for past harmfulness. And Orion says, Yes, that's true. That's part of the playbook. So it's a very deep matter, right? So, anyway, thank you for listening.